Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who has taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Faith of St. Thomas. Jesus' appearance to the apostles in the absence of Thomas. Apostolate with a people who have known Christ, but who do not keep up their relationship with him. The first day of the week, the day on which our Lord rose from the dead, the first day of the new world, is a day full of incident. From very early in the morning, when the women go to the tomb, until very late at night, when Jesus comes to comfort his closest friends. Peace be with you, he says to them. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. On that occasion, Thomas was not with the other apostles. He was not able to see the Lord or to hear his consoling words. This is the apostle who had said on one occasion, "Let us go to die with him." At the Last Supper, he had expressed his ignorance to our Lord in the simplest possible terms. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Filled with the deepest joy, the apostles would have looked for Thomas throughout Jerusalem on that very same night or the next day. As soon as they had found him, they would not be able to tell him quickly enough, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas, like all the others, had been deeply affected by what his own eyes had seen. He would never forget the crucifixion and death of the Master. He doesn't give the slightest credence to what the others have to tell him. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Those who had been his companions during those 3 years, and with whom he was united by so many bonds, would have repeated to him in 1,000 different ways that same truth which was their joy and their certainty, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas thought the Lord was dead. The others assure him that he is alive, that they himself have seen and heard him, that they have been with him. That's what we have to do also. For many men and women, Christ is, as it were, dead, because he hardly means a thing to them. He counts for almost nothing in their lives. Our faith in the risen Christ impels us to go to those people, to tell them in 1,000 different ways that Christ is alive, that we unite ourselves to him by faith and love every day, that he guides and gives meaning to our lives. In this way, fulfilling that obligation of faith to make the truth known with our example and our word, we contribute personally to the building up of the church, like those first Christians who are mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Our faith has to be operative, acts of faith, confidential relationship with our Lord, apostolate. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas's reply is an act of faith, of adoration, and of self-surrender without limits, "My Lord and my God." These 5 words of his are inexhaustible in their significance. His faith springs not so much from the evidence of seeing Jesus as from an immense sorrow. It isn't so much the proof as his love that leads him to adoration and to renewing his apostolate. Tradition tells us that the Apostle Thomas died a martyr for his faith in our Lord. He spent his life in his service. These preliminary doubts of Thomas have served to confirm the faith of those who were to believe in him later on. "What conclusion, dear brethren, do you come to?" asked St. Gregory the Great. Surely it was not by chance that this chosen disciple was missing in the first place, or that on his return he heard that hearing he doubted, that doubting he touched, and that touching he believed. It was by divine dispensation and not by chance that things so fell out. God's mercy worked wonderfully, for when that doubting disciple touched his master's wounded flesh, he cured the wound of our disbelief. So this doubting disciple, who actually touched, became a witness to the reality of the resurrection. If our faith is firm, then that of many others will be supported by it. It is essential that our faith in Jesus Christ increases every day, that we learn to look upon happenings and persons as he looks on them, that our activity in the middle of the world be animated by Jesus' doctrine. But, at times, we too find ourselves lacking in faith like the Apostle Thomas. We have need of greater confidence in our Lord, in the face of difficulty in the apostolate, of events that we don't know how to interpret from the supernatural point of view, in times of darkness that God permits so that we may grow in other virtues. The virtue of faith is one that gives us the true dimension of events and permits us to form a correct judgment about everything. Only by the light of faith and by meditation on the Word of God can one always and everywhere recognize God in whom we live and move and have our being. Seek His will in every event, see Christ in everyone, whether he be a relative or a stranger, and make correct judgments about the true meaning and value of temporal things both in themselves and in their relation to man's final goal. Let us meditate on the gospel of today's Mass. Let us take another look at the Master. You too may find yourself now hearing this gentle reproach to Thomas. Let me have your finger. See, here are my hands. Let me have your hand. Put it in my side. Cease your doubting and believe. And with the apostle, a sincere cry of contrition will rise from your soul. My Lord and my God, I acknowledge you once and for all as the Master. From now on, with your help, I shall always treasure your teachings and I shall try to follow them loyally. My Lord and my God, these words have served as an aspiration for many Christians and as an act of faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament when passing in front of a tabernacle or at the consecration of the Mass. They can also help us to deepen our faith and our love for the risen Christ, really present in the sacred host. The resurrection constitutes a call to us to show with our lives that Christ is alive, the need for formation. The Lord replied to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." This expression makes special reference to us, says St. Gregory the Great, for we have not seen him in the flesh, but know him in the mind. So if we put our faith to the proof by good works, we are blessed. He who gives expression to his faith is a genuine believer. The resurrection of our Lord is a call to us to show with our lives that he lives. The deeds of a Christian should be the fruit and the manifestation of his love for Christ. In the early centuries, the spread of Christianity was brought about mainly by the personal testimony of Christian converts. It was a straightforward preaching of the good news, person to person, family to family, among the people with the same kind of job, between neighbors, within a given area of a city or town, in the marketplace, in the streets. Today, too, our Lord wishes that the world, the street, the workplace, and the family be channels for the transmission of the faith. In order to be able to profess our faith by word, it is necessary to know its content clearly and with precision. That is why, throughout the centuries, our Mother the Church has given such importance to studying the Catechism, in which, in a brief and simple way, the essentials of what we have to know are contained, so as to be able to live it afterwards. St. Augustine was already reminding the catechumens who were about to receive baptism. So then, on Saturday next, on which we shall celebrate the vigil, God willing, you will have to render not the prayer, the Our Father, but the Creed, because if you do not learn it now, afterwards you will not be hearing it every day in the church from the people. And in learning it well, say it every day so as not to forget it. When getting up from bed, when you are going to sleep, pronounce the Creed, pronounce it to God, striving to learn it by heart, and don't be lazy about repeating it. It is a good thing to repeat so as not to forget. Don't say, "I have already said it yesterday, I am saying it today, and I say it every day. I have it well engraved in my memory." Let it be for you as a reminder of your faith and a mirror in which you see yourself reflected. Look at yourself then in it. Check to see if you continue believing all the truths that you say in words, that you believe and rejoice daily in your faith. Let them be your riches. Let them be as an apparel for the adornment of your soul. What a number of Christians there are who would need to have these words said to them because they have forgotten the essentials of their faith. Christ also asks that we profess him with deeds before our fellow men. Therefore, we should consider, should we not be more valiant on this or on that particular occasion? Should we not have a greater spirit of sacrifice when it comes to getting some of our tasks completed? We should think, too, about our work, about the environment that surrounds us. Are we known to be people who live a life of faith? Do we lack daring and apostolate? Do we have a deep knowledge for the essential element of our faith? Let us finish our prayer by asking Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Queen of Apostles, to help to show us with our behavior and our words that Christ is alive. Let us finish our prayer by asking Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Queen of Apostles, to help us to show with our behavior and our words that Christ is alive. Today's reading comes from In Conversation with God, Daily Meditations, Volume 2, Lent, Holy Week, and Eastertide, for the second Sunday of Easter.